gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wayne.
And I'm John Lobster. Fall back in time with Legends Podcast. All month long, we're talking about time travel, paradoxes, and beating yourself up. Before he helmed The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson directed his first sci-fi feature, Looper, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis as a hitman's present and future self. This time travel thriller was a breakout hit that solidified Johnson's status as an ace movie director. But does the movie stand the test of time? This is Chronovember.
Fucking puntastic you are.
It's that time again.
Rian Johnson's an amazing director. I'm just saying, for me, he's like tree on tree, so.
You said three on three. So, Brick, Looper, Star Wars? Are you counting Brothers Bloom? No?
Oh, I haven't seen. Did he do Brothers Bloom?
He did.
The movie?
We'll have to add that.
The movie, yep. And also three episodes of Breaking Bad.
But he did Breaking my favorite Bad, yeah. episode of Breaking Bad, which is The Fly.
He did The Fly?
He did The Fly, yeah.
I hated that episode the first time I saw it, but I grew to love it every time I've rewatched the show.
It's my favorite episode of all time, so I'm just like, yep. I didn't know he did the Brother Grimm. I thought that was...
No, not Brothers Grimm. The Brothers Bloom, a comedy. It's like a comedy caper. We could maybe do it in, like, Og Heist, but... You know,
I haven't seen it at all. So, okay, cool. So, something to look forward for. Okay.
I was first introduced to him in Brick, and I loved it.
Sure.
You introduced me to Brick, and I loved it.
So, I need to get this out of the way right now, but I kept expecting to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this movie, and there was a dude that kind of looked like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but not exactly.
You know,
and
not knowing it was him would be better.
I was totally freaked out the entire time.
Why?
I'm because he had like prosthetics on his face to make him look more, I don't know, square jawed or whatever, like Bruce Willis, and it just did not work for me. That is my only dig at this movie. It's that they should have just had it be Joseph Gordon-Levitt and have him be there and. He looks like an old Bruce Willis and do like some morphing in that one scene.
That one scene is perfect.
It is.
But I just had a hard time the entire movie. I kept expecting his face to change because it's about time travel. And so he like got plastic surgery so he could like disappear. I thought that was a real, they could have done that. But it was weird. Out of the way.
I'm glad I don't know his face enough to know that that was prosthetics. I just thought they gassed him really well.
Nope, he's got a very different face in real life. Because I mean, if you know Joseph Gordon-Levitt from Inception, from The Dark Knight Rises, from the comedies that he's done, from Hell, Third Rock from the Sun, you know it's him. But there was just something off about his face. I got like this weird like he looked like kind of like a young Mark Strong. Do you know who Mark Strong is? Like
Sinestro.
And I was just like, this is weird. Something's off. But I had to let it go. And I had to just tell myself, this is not Joseph Gordon-Levitt. This is just this guy. And let it go. But that's fine.
Yeah, that's stupid to say. But this movie is going to watch better in like 15 years when people don't really remember what he looked like.
Yeah, when they forgot what he looked. Yeah, forget what he looks like young.
See, that's why I like it. And it doesn't bother me.
Okay. That's my only gripe with this film. And that's a dumb nitpick. I see why they did it. They wanted Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but they wanted to make him look more like young Bruce Willis. It's like how they made what's-his-name wear contacts on Battlestar Galactica, so he looked like Edward James almost. Like,
I have another gripe, and it's a gripe that I have in most Rian Johnson movies. It's pacing. He likes having two stories intertwine one another.
Yes.
And this one, it's fun because you have two different elements of sci-fi that are totally different, that are interacting with each other. But the story of the killers is more interesting than the story of the kid. Mm-hmm. And once you get in the story of the kids, you're there for a while.
Yeah.
So well, pacing wise, a little bit like the problem with The Last Jedi. So.
They also do the whole telekinetic thing as like a throwaway gag at the beginning and you forget about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then when they bring it back later, you're like, oh, that's
the whole fucking point.
A lot. That's the whole thing. It's not about time travel. It's about someone who is super powerful and can do shit with their mind.
It's like Chronicle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool. I have a whole list that I'm going to read later of comparing this movie to The Last Jedi. I don't want to dig into that yet. I want to focus on this movie a little bit more. I didn't have an issue with pacing.
Three hours of makeup every day. Two and a half hours to three hours and 45 minutes.
For that, not worth it.
You just... And for what it's worth, it's not bad. Like, I didn't look at it and go, like, that's a fake chin. I just knew it wasn't his chin.
You know, I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even fucking know. I know who he is and I've seen him in other things, but it just never, wow, okay. Well, fuck me, I'm an idiot.
It's 3 hours well spent because it doesn't look like it's seamless, but I just looked at him and I was like, that's not Joseph Gordon-Levitt. 100%. That's like 85% Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And come on, we bought John Travolta to Nicolas Cage. We can't buy Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I mean,
they change their face, and it's like they change the robots.
Right.
I mean,
and you do it bodies. With mannerisms. You do it with inflection and words and things like that.
Well, he said he studied too.
Come on.
Yeah, even the guy who they got to do young Han Solo, like, they do it. And I think, honestly, a better case is Chris Pine as William Shatner, because he does the Shatnerisms, but there's still enough Chris Pine there that you,
not anymore,
you see
there
him
isn't.
As... Well...
have you seen the
no, it's Chris Hemsworth that doesn't want to do it anymore, right?
Yeah, no, both Chris.
Both Chris's. Yeah. No, sorry.
Have you seen the Ed replacement in Solo with Harrison Ford? Head?
I have not watched that, but they got an AI to like do it, which is so cool.
Yeah, but the thing that's amazing is like you were talking about mannerism. Once you just change the head, dear,
it's perfect.
God,
yeah.
he got it spot on point. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the actual movie now.
Sure.
Loopers was it 2044 in 30 years time travel will be created and instantly outlawed?
So it's set in 2044, but 30 years ahead of that, time travel gets invented. So this movie is set in the future, but it's also dealing with events further ahead in the future.
So yeah, the mob basically takes people from the future and people they want to kill or disappear.
Right. Time travel was invented. Everyone decided it was terrible. It was instantly outlawed. So what happens when you outlaw something? Only outlaws have it.
Right.
So they don't have time cops going around fixing things, which they should have. Where's Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I like the looper aspect, though. You know, you get these people do this for so long, then they live out a portion of their life, and then they get killed. It's kind of creepy.
I don't really understand, because it's all about disposing of bodies.
Correct.
But they send people back alive. To start with, right? Like, okay, well, if the problem is you just need to get rid of the body,
you just send it back.
Why? Just send them back dead.
Yeah, but okay. you're taking care of the evidence at the same time, because there's no evidence you killed them because you did it.
Right. So why have somebody waiting there with a gun? Why not just have somebody waiting there with a wood chipper?
Because that's gross.
They always materialize in the same spot. Why not just make that? Why not just make that the ocean or the shark tank at SeaWorld?
Right, like, dig a big hole and put a fucking chipper underneath it.
Right.
Okay, you freaking Bond villains. Dear goddess.
Point two, okay, you have time travel. Why only send them back 30 years? Is that the theoretical limit of time travel? You can only go backwards?
Why not ship them to, like, 1804?
Why not 65 million years BC and let the T-Rex take care of them?
Because like, then someone will instantly find a fucking human fossil half eaten in our current time, and it'll throw everything
off. Butterfly effect.
Yeah. Okay. So minimum safe distance is 30 years.
It seems that way, yeah.
Is it one way? Because it seems like you can only send people back and the stuff they're carrying, it doesn't seem like Jeff Daniels.
Didn't they say it was only one way for Jeff Daniels?
I guess.
Yeah, they said something like they had to send someone back to set up shop, and I swear he said something like, you know, it was one way, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
But then he becomes a kingpin in his own right.
Right.
The Gatman, kind of a weird...
Well, he's kind of like an idiot from the future, right? Like if you went back to the 1700s, you know, someone who like you're not a genius, but you know how things work, right? Or do you? Like,
right. We don't. Could you tell me how to build a battery? I mean, maybe, but could you implement that? Could you use the knowledge that we know from our now? Yeah, I know how to maybe do stitches or something like that, but they wouldn't be good. And that's like the extent of my medical knowledge.
Right. Yeah, but I can invest a couple of $1,000s in the company that's going to invent the light bulb.
Yeah, if you get to the right point in time that something's being invented. If you know
who's going to win the World Series.
Right. Yeah, it's just 1998 Google shares.
Yeah.
But then you instantly, if you do that to these people, then you create another problem that's going to come back to you in the future.
Right.
I think that's why you have to have somebody there to guarantee their death right away. Otherwise, people with future knowledge could go back and bet on, a couple Super Bowls or a couple World Series.
Right.
That's Back to the Future. Wrong movies.
Kill someone as a child that they have a grudge against.
Right. Or that will become really evil later.
Right. So basically, this is Terminator a little bit.
But I was about to say, this movie doesn't want to deal with all of these questions.
No,
that's not the movie. What the movie's about.
They sit down and talk about it, and he says, you know what, shut the fuck up about this. Like, it doesn't matter.
He's like, we boil our brains.
It's a thing. You know, we could be here all day making diagrams with straws. Like, it doesn't matter. It is what it is.
I like how they deal with the memories. Everything's always fuzzy, and then when you make a choice, I remember it.
Right.
But when they cut the nose, though, I still dream about that.
Go back to that. So... Right away, one of the first...
Paul Dano, somebody drinks his milkshake, and he gets shit on.
But you get
as he always does in movies, even when it's the old version of him.
Well, what's his face? His loop shows up, and he starts singing, so he knew it was him because it's a song that his mom did. And then... it's so fucked
up. That's really smart, because if you know the person who's going to kill you is you...
Yep.
You do something like that, and then you're like, holy shit, this is me.
Yeah, I do a stupid beef laugh or something like that. And I mean, there's... Yeah. But it's okay, so he lets his loop run or whatever. And then when they go to bring the loop in, because you can't have a guy from the future running around causing havoc now, they basically catch the kid, and they carve into his forearm, be at such and such a street in 15 minutes, so it's scarred over, and then he's climbing up the fence, and his finger goes, and then his pinky goes, and what was it next? His nose?
Yeah.
And the next one was his ankle, when he goes to push the gas, because I'm dealing with a broken ankle, and that was like, ugh.
And his shoe is empty.
Okay, so we gotta talk about that, too. Lobster and I touched on it before the cast. So what if this guy was supposed to do anything over the next 30 years that had a butterfly effect? Now you've just basically cut everything.
Okay, I'll go back to the movie. We can have diagram with straws and all that, and we'll be here all day.
I know, but it's still... They had to keep him alive for the next 30 years then.
Right. So if young you loses their foot, why don't you have a prosthetic foot?
Maybe
why
he didn't travel back with it. Because he didn't travel with it before?
Right. Yeah, but time ripple would have blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like, if you get shot and you, like, vanish into thin air, then, like, you can do stuff. Like, if stuff can appear on your arm, that's, you know, I don't know.
The appearing on your arm is more like, I'm carving it into my arm right now, and then because I live the next 30 years, it's going to scar.
Never washing that wound, because, really, that would... heel.
Imagine beef. You carve on your arm, but in 20 years you're gonna have a full sleeve of tattoos. So
But if you look at, if you look at my scarification on my sides of my back, yes, I heal well, but the scars are there, and I washed and scrubbed those scars. But if you
I wouldn't read what's there.
Right.
I mean, I've seen your scarification.
But what I'm saying is that your body would still scar up that bad.
Right.
If
right.
you all of a sudden looked, you're climbing over a fence, and you happen to look at your arm, and you saw
it's
something
like
that looked like an
written
arrow.
Plain as day. Yeah.
I mean, that's you would definitely look at it and read it.
It
going,
definitely
what the fuck?
Stretches the believability. But it's an interesting device. Yeah. I kind of like the idea that they like went and got a tattoo or something. Like that would be cool.
Oh, they like tattooed him?
Yeah.
The other thing that if they kill him as a young guy, who gives the order to kill him in the future? You know, nothing works. You need to take all your time travel theories away and just go with what the movie is ready to give you. The way the movie takes it is that it's kind of a line that doesn't affect each other. So,
but what you do in the past does have consequences for the future, and they are immediate.
Yeah.
Like, so.
So the movie really stretch what you want to believe in there, but
it doesn't disagree with its own rules,
which is
it
nice.
It sets the rules. It says this is how it works in this world. And
why
it's
France?
Fine.
I'm from the future. Kid, you should go to China.
Yeah, don't go to France.
Yeah.
Euro Disney took over the whole place. It's a mess.
I love... Okay, so let's get back to that. So, okay, that dude's loop runs. Then we get to the Bruce Willis coming back and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Bruce Willis isn't bagged because he goes through on his own, and he's late. So, I mean... They know that shit's going sideways right away. It's so great that we get to see the 30 years of his life, though, if the loop wouldn't have been broken.
Well, the loop was closed because he dies.
Right, but...
And then you see the guy live out the rest of... You see young Joe live out the rest of his life, and then he goes back again and says, well, now I'm going to do something different. Now I'm going to get away. But
No, because the first time he falls, he falls off the car, or he falls when they're running for him, and he hits the car.
That's a cut in the timeline, because he doesn't die, he's unconscious, and then you see what happened to bring him back to that point.
Correct.
So you see...
The fast forward of 30 years.
The first timeline, he kills Bruce Willis.
Correct.
Grows old.
Wastes all his
married,
money.
Wastes all his money. Gets married. Meets the love of his life. Decides he doesn't want to die. Fights the guys. So that time when he goes back, he's
I think it's
different.
Because
he's
of
basically,
his... Isn't it
he's basically Groundhog Day-ing, right? So he does something different. He changes.
Isn't it because of his wife this time, though? Because he said there's a new guy in the future. He's closing all these loops. So it's something with the kid. Like, I don't... Fuck, it does bake my noodle. I love it. It's like, what the fuck? I hated this movie the first time I saw it. Not because I hated it. I liked it. But I hated the idea that Bruce Willis was potentially the bad guy, right? That he was like the kid murdering,
right?
Yada yada.
But he thinks he's doing the right thing.
I know, and he wants to let his wife live.
He thinks by trying to kill the kid, he's going to prevent the bad future. But by trying to kill the kid, he causes the bad future.
This is a precise description of a fuzzy mechanism.
Yeah,
such a great line.
It is a fuzzy mechanism. So
yeah,
I
said the movie is more interested in telling its story than trying to explain to you these.
Really, really, the heart of this movie is the characters. It's not the time travel mechanics. It's that the characters are very, very well written.
But like you said, this doesn't get in its own way for the time travel. It bakes my noodle because I like time travel.
We're picking it apart because we're doing a theme month on time travel. So of course we're looking at each movie to see how well it actually does time travel. This is not Time Crimes level of intricacy and making sure everything lines up perfectly. This is a little looser than that.
The French trick Beatrix, when he saw on his arm, be at, I was like, oh my God, they got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And then, you know, there's a chick that works on the weekends. Jen.
Fewer letters. And then, you know, one of the things that I think this movie does really, really well is that you don't meet Bruce Willis until like half an hour in, and you don't meet Emily Blunt until like an hour into the movie.
Oh, yeah,
like,
easy.
The brilliance is that the movie keeps changing protagonists every half hour on a two-hour movie around.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great, because the last half, the protagonist is the kid.
Is the kid, yeah.
Oh, he keeps just moving.
When the kid has a tantrum and she goes and hides in that fucking gun safe.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this isn't going to be good.
She's a hell of an actress.
Live, die, repeat, am I right?
Yeah. Yep.
I hope that.
That almost made the list this year.
Yeah, that's one we got to do again.
Yep.
They didn't do special effects all that much, but when they did, it was well. The bike didn't look horrible. It didn't look great. The kid levitating the Gap Man and fucking splattering him everywhere was cool. Yep.
Garrett Dillahunt.
Yep, he totally killed a Terminator.
He did kill a Terminator. I was going to say, like, he's in Sarah Connor Chronicles, which is fantastic.
He's one of my favorite people from that, because at the end of season one, he's the one chucking all the FBI agents into the pool when the man comes around.
Uh-huh. That is so good.
Yep.
So good.
Great music for that.
So I'm moving right now. So one of the things I've done is I've gone through my DVD collection and like pared down, and I'm going to get rid of some stuff that I don't want to keep. And I came across season one and two of Sarah Connor Chronicles.
You better
and I'm
keep
like,
those.
Oh, I'm keeping these.
You better.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of stuff is out there in the world, but a lot of other stuff is hard to find. And we talked about physical media being sort of precious, because you don't always know when something's going to disappear from a streaming site or you know, a rent to own kind of thing.
I'm not taking my James Bonds away. I mean,
movies are not mine all too, there. Yeah.
Like I said, it's certain things. Like Woody Allen, his filmography is so big. If you like him, you better have most of it, because
right. So anyway, that's a digression, so I have those. But yeah, definitely a lot of the bit roles in this are really, really well done. Kid Blue, I really enjoy.
You're biased.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. So a friend of a friend is married to him, the actor, Noah Segan. And it's like such a really weird thing, because I've totally seen... I've seen him on like her Instagram page. Like, I follow her on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy. And he was in The Last Jedi. He was an extra in The Last Jedi, and I never like connected it. But he was in Brick. He was in this. He was an extra in the Ozymandias episode of Breaking Bad. Like, so he's in all of Rian Johnson's stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Right. If you're a friend of Rian Johnson, he keeps putting you in his movie. He's like Kevin Smith with talent.
Right. Yeah, very good.
No offense to Kevin Smith, but he would agree.
Sure.
Do you want to get into your list?
So, I mean, speaking of The Last Jedi, I was thinking about this movie, and I was thinking about it just in comparison to The Last Jedi, because I think one of the complaints that is leveled at The Last Jedi is that it doesn't follow necessarily the formula of other Star Wars movies. And that's a fair cop. But I think it also does the movie very... It's a very good movie, so the fact that it doesn't ape the formula is a good thing. But I noticed a lot of similarities between Looper and The Last Jedi, so I just want to run down some of them. And feel free to disagree.
I can't. I'm reading them so far.
Okay, so first one is, this movie is set in a futuristic world that is also the past. So Star Wars tells us it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So there's spaceships and lasers and things like that, yet it's also the past. Okay, got it. A hero attempts to run away rather than face his problem, but is drawn in by a female character with whom he forms a bond. That's Finn's arc in The Last Jedi, and it's young Joe's arc here. A young, gifted prodigy with mysterious parentage makes rocks float in midair in slow motion.
So
okay,
good.
Obviously, yeah, Ray and the kid sure. Sid here.
This one is not as strong as the other one, let's say.
Well, the force, the slow motion lift thing was kind of new to, that was a visual thing that Rian Johnson added, I think. A main character considers killing a youngling to avert a dark destiny, thereby creating slash nearly creating the dark destiny as a result. So obviously, in Last Jedi, Luke Skywalker almost kills Ben Solo, and that actually turns Ben on the dark path. In here, Bruce Willis's character almost kills almost kills the boy's mother, which would have set him on the dark path because he's after him. Okay. A handsome male star has his face covered in prosthetics. Check. A map with coordinates is a key to finding an important person. Okay, technically, this is a holdover from Force Awakens, but fine. The paradoxical nature of the Force or time travel is explained, but don't think about it too hard, okay? Like, it's just forget it. That's not how the Force works.
I don't agree. That one, I think I don't agree at all.
There is a chase or shootout at a casino. An older villain who pulls the strings and seems to represent an existential threat is killed off somewhat anticlimactically. General Supreme Leader Snoke, who's set up as this big bad, basically gets sawed in half without any fuss. Jeff Daniels' character is killed off screen. An old man vanishes during the climax of the movie as a result of self-sacrifice. You cannot deny this one, Wang. This actually happens in both movies.
I'll be honest. I'm not denying most of them except the approach of the Force and the time travel, because I think it takes a lot of time to set up that final thing that we see to make sure it's consistent with the rest of the Force. So.
Oh, I'm not arguing that it wasn't consistent. I'm saying the explanation is rather
muddied.
It's a precise explanation of a fuzzy concept, you know. All right, finally, the message of the movie is trusting the promise of the next generation to be better than its predecessor by giving them the free will to choose what they become. That is the central argument in this movie, and it is the central argument of The Last Jedi.
Oh, no, you're right. It took a lot of the same themes. And
are you the first to notice it?
No. I found a couple articles that pointed out little things. I think that's the most comprehensive list that has been made comparing the two films. There are probably more intricate connections, but I think that will suffice there.
Nice. Should we rate this puppy, or do we got some more notes?
I think we can rate this one because we have a lot of time travel movies to get through this month.
The one thing we forgot. Spoiler alert.
So many movies, so little time. Nah. Yeah, go ahead.
Spoiler alert, young Joe turns the gun on himself so that this doesn't happen anymore.
Right. Chekhov's gun, by the way. So they established that the blunderbuss does not have a range over 15 feet.
Right.
So they literally set it up where he has to make a long distance shot in order to save someone, and he can't make the shot because of the gun, so he has to turn it on himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Chekhov's gun.
Wasn't it Joe's?
Did you have another?
Joe's gun?
Joe's gun, yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't have anything else. That was it. So... Wing for Looper. Are you going legendary?
Breaking Gat.
Legend of its time.
Legend of time travel.
Cult legend.
The Rainmaker.
Awesome.
Blunt Trauma.
Entertaining.
Die Hard with a Doppelganger.
Mayable.
Blunderbuss.
Forgettable.
Fuzzy Memories.
Abysmal.
TKO.
Spring Breakers Highlander D&D.
Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of kicking the crap out of younger you because you know you deserved it.
Yeah, it's clearly Fruit Loops because that's what I want to see. oh, God. For this one, I'm going to go Die Hard with a Doppelganger, which, yeah, that's basically what the movie is. But I love this movie, but it's not a... game changer, the fact that their time travel device is not really working is not really important. as much. Meh. I don't know. The movie's really good. I like it. I think entertaining is a great, great thing, but I'm not going farther than that. It's a good movie. It's a great movie. You should watch it. Beef.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love this movie, I think I gotta follow your lead, Die Hard with a Doppelganger, but give it a side of kicking the crap out of you, like younger you. I like it. It's fun. It doesn't do much with the time travel, but it's still a good story. It's fun, bakes your noodle a bit, but it's fun to see everybody act. It's fun how you guys pointed out that, you know, the what you call it, changes every half hour or so, the bad person, or who you think is anyways. I enjoy it. I don't mind going back to the well and rewatching it on the DVD that I own. So this is something I visit every couple of few years. Die Hard with a Doppelganger. Entertaining. Lobster.
I'm going to bump it up a notch to awesome Blunt Trauma, because I thought Emily Blunt was great in this. I also think that if you watch... Yeah, absolutely. You watch this movie, and then a couple years later, you got Interstellar, which I think was Christopher Nolan being like, I want to make a time travel movie set on a farm. Come on. And, you know, it's just so cool the way this movie sets everything up. It gives you, like, a variety of different methods of storytelling, different kind of worlds that this fits in. And then ultimately everything gets tied together in this really cool way at the end. I was a little traumatized. Like, I really wanted Joe to make it. But ultimately it was about what he sacrificed that would have the positive effect on the future versus, like, you know, him taking someone else's life, which would have caused bad problems, you know, future him. So I really like that. I would give this, on the whole, a very strong rating as, you know, something to check out if you like Rian Johnson and you have not seen this. Obviously, as we said, a lot of parallels to The Last Jedi, but it is not the same movie. So it kind of makes up its own rules and is a lot of fun.
All right. Last word on Looper, fellas.
Fruit Loop.
Rock Salt.
Time to Die. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Okay. So in the box office, No Time for Losers. Bohemian Rhapsody is the champion.
I've heard it's quite good.
I've heard the same. It is making a lot of money around the world, and it's going to hang out, I think, pretty well and have some staying power. I mean, obviously, A Star is Born is still in the top five. So this is, I mean, we are starting off a very strong holiday movie season. Unfortunately, Nutcracker and The Four Realms got kicked in the nuts. I mean,
they knew the embargo lift up the date came out.
Yeah.
They knew. Disney had no confidence in this movie for the last six months. They just released it because they paid for it.
And they brought in someone else to finish directing it, too. Oh, like, God. It was another reshoot type situation, and I forget who it was. But another not great situation there. So, again, this was, I think, supposed to launch a franchise, but I don't think Disney needs another franchise. They can.
Which one was that?
Nutcracker.
Yeah, they don't need another freaking franchise.
It's in a franchise already in their live action cartoon to live action franchise, basically. But
crazy.
The Walking Dead. Andrew Lincoln exited the show, but they're doing a series of spinoff movies featuring his character.
Why?
Rick Grimes. Because they can.
Because it's making a lot of money. It's going to be a series exclusive. They're going to put that on streaming channel, and they can shoot it in England because he had enough to live in America, basically. He wanted to see his family. That's the reason why he went away. I haven't watched the show for like four seasons. I mean,
no, me neither.
So I have no idea what's happening.
I'm about one or two more after.
I don't know. Like, there's a guy with a baseball bat that beats people up. Somebody has a tiger.
No, I think he's gone now.
I know of it through like other things and just like pop culture in general, but I could not tell you like what currently is going on.
Yeah, all really. I knew is that Batman's father is killing people with a baseball bat with barbed wire on it. That's it.
Yeah. So last week we talked about It. Fast breaking news right after we finished recording. Yeah. We found out that Andy Muschietti is directing Attack on Titan, which is pretty exciting.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, but are they going to do it justice? I mean,
have you watched the Korean adaptation or live action thing?
That's like two movies, right?
Yeah, that was like two movies. And okay, the special effects are all on par. But seriously, that was kind of cool. So if they go with the same kind of approach, but they put the millions of dollars of special effect behind it.
Can you tell it all in two and a half hours?
Can you tell it in two and a half hours?
This.
Mm. No.
Not
it. It is.
I'm saying it. Everybody was saying it. The same thing about it.
Well, it is getting
two
part
parts.
Two.
So yeah, that's
it's
two parts.
Two
yeah.
books. So yeah, give two parts to Attack on Titan as well. I should give three parts because there's three series. Yeah. And boom.
Make a trilogy.
Yeah, but you... That's like making The Last Airbender. Here's your one movie, blah. Fuck, I don't know. It just...
Yeah, but The Last Airbender
sucked. Yeah, but I feel like
sucked.
Andy...
I know.
Andy Muschietti is not...
not Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yeah, but you're also not guaranteed a second or third part. So...
So you make the first one really fucking good and
I hope.
Make it on the cheap side so that when you get...
Make $1 billion.
Right.
And Beef, when you say that, you're not guaranteed the other ones. You know what? I prefer them like taking a chance to make a good movie because if the first one sucks, I don't want the other ones anyway.
Right, right. Exactly.
True. But
make the first one good on the cheap side. Get more money to do the second one so you can do more stuff.
Do you want a sequel to The Last Airbender? Come on.
There is nothing worse to me, though, even if it's a crappy movie, than seeing just like a part of it. Half of the vision, half of the... Mm-hmm. Every third book nowadays is split into two movies. All that shit infuriates me. I don't know. Whatever. I'm done. Oh, on the same note,
tell us
Avatar. two sequels we were supposed to get. We haven't heard anything about them except that they're still coming. Now, apparently, there's four.
Will you read the names just in order?
Nah, let me see here. Where are we at? Okay. This is in order of release. Avatar, The Way of the Water.
No, it's just The Way of Water. There's no second
thought. So we're going underground. Okay. Underwater.
The Way of Water. Sorry. Avatar, The Seed Bearer.
Your mom.
Yeah. Avatar, The Tulkun Rider. Or
Your father.
Okay. And Avatar, The Quest for Ewa.
Ewa.
Oh, I thought it was Enya. Okay.
Yeah.
So what? I don't pick some fucking real names, James Cameron. Uh-huh.
I don't care. I mean, the movies are good. I don't care what they're called. But
somebody took The Last Airbender, so they couldn't call it that. So they had to call it The Way of Water.
We're seriously getting five of these? I don't even believe it. We're not going to see another one. He's dead.
That's it. They haven't finished them in all the special effect. If the first one doesn't hit, they're never going to release the other ones.
The Way of Water is supposed to come out December 18th, 2020.
You remember when did the first Avatar drop?
2009.
Okay, and it, like at the end of it, there was talk right away for 2012, 2011.
Yep. Do it. Yep.
Yeah.
They said everything was in the computer. It was easy to make.
Yeah. So
who's the star of Avatar? Who's the main guy?
What's his face? That was a Terminator and did some other stuff when he was real hot back then and now hasn't done shit. He's probably like fat and bald by now.
And who?
Sure. What was his name?
White guy from Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the old white guy.
Yep. Now, who is the female lead?
Sigourney Weaver or Zoe Saldana.
No, Zoe Saldana. And Sigourney Weaver. She's in these for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they get her back out of the tree root that they all have sex with or whatever.
They put her in the body.
Yeah, so weird.
The seed bearer comes out of Ewa, and they connect her to the ponytail, and...
I mean, if it's good, again, I just...
I, like, I liked the first Avatar. I saw it in 3D in the theaters a couple times. It was visually amazing. It was great. The story was fine. It wasn't great, but it sucked you in enough so that you got to kind of enjoy the visuals and not really think about the story, which I thought was good.
James Cameron is not a master at great stories. He's a master at popular story, and he's very, very, very good at it. But he's not a...
Listen, if he tells me that The Seed Bearer is the movie, I will see The Seed Bearer, fine. You know,
The
Way of Water, you know, I don't care what it's called. If it looks cool, I'm in.
We'll see. I'm more excited for them to re-release the first one in 3D because I missed that.
Yeah.
You missed that?
Yeah, I didn't see it. It wasn't my first 3D film.
Oh. But seriously, at this point, the only thing I'm really afraid about is, first of all, I'm not sure people care that much anymore. I don't care much anymore.
No.
The other thing is that James Cameron has really been good at doing one movie at a time and then waiting 10 years and then making another movie and break his own record.
Another four movies.
No, usually that's what he does. He waits 10 years, does something else, break his own records. This is the first time that he's telling an overarching story over a bunch of episodes. I'm really afraid about his storytelling capacity on this.
I mean, is it like the George R. R. Martin thing where it's now so huge and unwieldy that he's trying to do so much, but it'll never see the light of day?
So are we getting one of these each decade going forward? One in 2020, one in 2030, 40 and 50. He's going to be dead.
Or are they just going to all drop at once?
They said one a year for 4 years.
Yeah.
Until the second one is... push back because they haven't finished a special effect.
Yeah, until the Seed Bearer,
Can't wait to see if that or Star Wars make more money.
Till the Seed Bearer is barren?
Barren. Watership Down, this adorable movie featuring talking rabbits.
That are about to die.
With spoilers. Holy shit.
Sorry.
If you didn't read it as a kid. Yeah, that's coming. So it's going to have Nicholas Holt.
Everybody's in this
Peter
movie.
Peter Capaldi. Ed Sheeran's doing a song. Mackenzie Crook. Other people. Who am I missing? Where am I looking?
I don't know. There was a larger list somewhere.
Oh, James McAvoy, John Boyega, Olivia Colman, Gemma Arterton, Ben Kingsley, Daniel Kaluuya, Taron Egerton.
Did you just say Ben motherfucking Kingsley?
Yep.
I did.
Nice.
Yep.
So this will be fun. I mean, it's totally uplifting story.
The Toast of Croydon, Ben Kingsley. There he is, folks. So a bunch of other people. I don't know.
I'm happiest about the next news.
Okay, so the next bit of news, the Deadwood movie started filming. 12 cast members are returning. That's something to look forward to. I never really watched the
original.
It's
only one season, so you can catch up in 15 episodes. And I think someone you know, Ed Swearingen, or you recently came across an HBO account, so you should probably watch this.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. As part of moving, I have signed up for an HBO something.
Good, good. Yeah, you should definitely...
You should do that. Ewan McGregor has joined Birds of Prey as the villain Black Mask.
I like the description.
Who is the Black Mask?
Black Mask is a character that was a mob boss, and his father was a mob boss as well. And when his father died, he carved a mask out of the coffin of his father, a black mask, wore it. An accident happened, got sewed to his face in some ways.
Oh, no.
And he's kind of a sadistic mob boss. So he's in sadomasochism and torture and all that good stuff.
They did Black Mask in Gotham, I think, back in season one. Did they ever revisit? Do we know?
Except in the Batman Arkham Origin, I don't. I don't think so. They didn't revisit that character that much. It's a very edgy character usually, but this movie.
Do you think Ewan McGregor has what it takes to bring the edge? He Christopher Robin. I mean,
have you seen Fargo?
Fair fair point, although he's kind of a mixed bag in Fargo because he's two different characters, right?
Like, and my point, he's that good, so I have no okay. I have no problem. And this movie is supposed to be rated R, according to the director, so they're going to be able to go all the way. I think that's something he was looking for at this point.
He's going to get to say the F word.
Fuck!
He's going to get to not be a Jedi, but be a villain for once. So that's kind of cool, I guess.
Give it up, Batman. I have the high ground.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Clench up, Legolas. Here's your first look at Henry Cavill in The Witcher. Looking like a blonde, butt-chin-looking dude.
The comments are Legolas and Malfoy. So they're calling it like Legolas Elfoy.
Yeah. But he can look however he wants because he's going to earn $400,000 per episode for a cool $3.2 million series paycheck. So he's doing all right. He's doing okay.
He's busy, eh? All of a sudden, his schedule is getting busier and busier.
His dance card is full. Probably not playing Superman again, right?
According to media, don't really know.
We don't know. Okay. You guys ready for a trailer dump?
Go.
Movie called Dogs. Actually, a documentary series going to be on Netflix. If you like dogs, watch this. If you don't like dogs, watch it anyway, and you will like dogs.
Yeah, it'll make you sad because it looks like it's all feely. Right in the touches.
Dogs are great. Yeah, but dogs are great. So
I'm more of a cat
person. I have
person,
one. I don't need to watch a documentary. I can watch the dog.
Okay. God, you're so cynical. Tyler.
I like cats too, but I also like dogs.
So Tyler Perry, Madea's family funeral.
This is reportedly the final Madea film.
Woo-hoo! I don't have to ignore him anymore.
I don't know if you guys like those, if you watch them.
Nope.
But they do make some money. And this one looks like one of them. The Orville is coming back, so there's a little crew is back
teaser. Is
that teaser.
Not till December 30th, did I read right?
Yeah, they've teased a bunch of it. It's going to be kind of like a mid-season replacement, but it looks like bigger budget, more Star Trek-type storylines. Spies in Disguise, which is an animated film with Will Smith. Not what I thought it was going to be.
I was almost on board, and then he got turned into a bird.
Turned into a pigeon.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that at all.
Agreed.
I mean, are they going to disguise him as other things? Like,
then he's a dog or a cat.
Right,
or,
then he's a dog or, you know, a hamster or a gerbil.
Okay.
Or, maybe. You know.
Maybe.
A fly. The fly. He's the fly from the episode of Breaking Bad. Like, you know.
Isn't he the genie?
Is he what?
Isn't he the genie?
He is. He's also a genie. Yeah. He's also a genie in Aladdin.
Has anybody seen Incredibles 2?
Yes.
Okay. Really fun.
Very good.
It's the same movie as the first one, but really fun.
Similar film. Yeah. Also, Breaking Bad. Bob Odenkirk is in it.
Yes. So good.
Basically playing Saul Goodman.
When is Better Call Saul starting again? I can't wait for that.
Didn't it just finish like 2 months ago?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Did you see the story where, speaking of people getting their limbs cut off, an actor who was on Better Call Saul just came out and said that he cut his own arm off when he was on drugs, but he used, like, he was going around saying he was like a combat veteran, and that's how he lost the arm.
What?
This is totally unrelated to anything, but a batshit crazy story that I just thought of that relates exactly to what we.
You know what reminds me of cutting your own arm off and lying about it?
Uh-huh.
Christmas movies.
A movie about Santa Claus.
Well, if you keep like dropping into these chimneys, most of them are closed now. You're going to cut something.
Yep. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake, because he will cut your arm off.
This movie looks so bad, and I have no interest in seeing it yet.
But it's going to be on Netflix, so you know you're going to watch it.
Every, 10 seconds in the clip, I gave it half a chuckle, and I started, resenting it more, and then I gave it more chuckles. And I'm like, God damn it.
You know that a day or two after
Christmas morning when you're all fat
you're
and lazy.
You're going to be blissed out on candy and eggnog, and you're going to put this on and enjoy it.
I actually think what I'll be doing instead of that is watching The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, that looks so good.
Because, yeah, every trailer for this just keeps making me more and more interested. And the cast is amazing.
Don't be too fancy now. As he shoots him over his shoulder with the mirror.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be too fancy. Wayne, what do you think?
It's the Coen brothers. I don't know that story. The trailer doesn't speak to me that much, but then it says Coen brothers.
It's six different stories. It's like an anthology, so it's going to be six different stories, maybe intertwined, maybe not. An amazing looking cast. So
yeah, have you seen Hail Caesar?
What?
I've not seen Hail Caesar.
Keep doing that.
Keep it that way. Wasn't young Han Solo in Hail Caesar as well?
He was the best thing in the movie, yes.
Oh, okay. Very good.
No, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's why you got cast. Okay. But, yeah, the movie...
Good. Random stuff. I think some different shows we've been catching up on. Beef, what have you been watching?
Well, The Bodyguard with one of the older Stark boys is it's British, you know.
The King of the North.
He's a old Special Forces dude. He's a PPO, a personal protection officer to someone in Britain, and I don't know.
Yep.
I'm about four or five episodes in, and it's taken many more turns than I thought it would, and I'm a fan.
Yeah, I hear lots of twists and turns, big twist at the end.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
People have called this his thesis for being Bond, like his kind of thesis statement.
I could see some of that. He'd have to be a little less unhinged if he were Bond, but the man can wear a suit, and he can kick some ass, so.
Mm-hmm. Good. Speaking of wearing suits and kicking ass, I finished season 3 of Daredevil.
I watched the first episode, so.
Okay, not going to spoil a darn thing on it, other than it holds its quality.
Cool.
Can I
say something without spoiling it, Wing?
Sure.
Sure.
Probably better than the season 1.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, when you're done with it, I guarantee it will at least be close in your running. Cause
I'm sorry, but you know, priorities and Castlevania came out.
Have you watched any of that
from scratch? So
good. I still haven't seen any of it.
Castlevania. I only watched the first two episodes, but they are good. I am enjoying the fact that it's slowing down the pace a little bit and giving you more characters, more character moments, more backstory.
That'll probably get mainline next weekend for me.
Unpacking the world a bit. The first two episodes were not what I expected.
No.
And are kind of a little bit behind the scenes of season one. Like season one rushed through a lot of stuff. I feel like season two is giving you, okay, this is what really happened, and this is why you saw what you saw.
The thing I think I was not expecting, and that I would have liked the show to tell me before, is that this is not the story of the Belmont. This is a story of Dracula. And that's what got me in this season. I was like, oh, okay.
It's Dracula's character arc, and everyone else is just reacting.
Yes, and it's great. So just go, guys. Just go. And the setup for next season is amazing. I can't wait to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Okay.
It's very good. We also watched The Haunting on The Left House or some...
Haunting on Hill House?
Yes, yeah, some amalgamation of these words. And that was okay. That was pretty good. So if you want to be... cared shitless before going to sleep, you should do that.
A friend of ours, Ferris, who you guys, I know you guys know.
Who is Ferris?
Ferris, author, podcaster, man about town, recommended Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. He said, very good.
That's out already?
Yeah, good. It's on Netflix right now. We were debating watching it.
Try to keep up. It is hard. It is hard.
God, no, I mean, I'm a failure at a lot of things, but...
Just started again, and
House of Cards. Yeah, I mean, there's literally too much. I don't even have time to watch HBO, so
I'm gonna forego any House of Cards to rewatch Deadwood. So, just saying, we got time before the movie comes out. You should get in on that first season or two.
That's right.
Yeah, but knowing what happened in House of Cards, once you take Kevin Spacey away, and what they've done is kind of very, very fun. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Crazy.
All right. Well, speaking of time and finding time to watch everything, what are we going to find time to watch next week?
Another heartbreaking movie about time travel. About time. It's a rom-com, isn't it? Kind of rom-com, drum.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of movie than we have done in Cronovember.
Okay, well,
that's the point.
Well, didn't we do kind of a? That wasn't a comedy, so never mind. The romantic, what's the name that Taco picked out last year with the 1 minute time machine?
The Science of Sleep.
There you
the
go. Science of Sleep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a much different movie.
Okay. Cool. I don't know about excited, but I'm interested to watch it. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was actually, you know, it's one thing I try to do every now and then is do a movie that my wife would recommend that we talk about, and she's been pushing us to do a romantic comedy. So when this one came up, I was like, because we had seen it before as a date night, and she really liked it and actually went back and read the book and said the book is very good. So she approved of this pick.
Nice.
Don't we have another one in December when we discover that I've never seen Love Actually?
Yes, we do. That is coming up down the road. I believe it's the same director, if I'm not mistaken. Also, lots of British people.
I like the Brits.
In it. Yep.
This has been episode 396 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, more time travel movies? Okay.
I'm John D saying, I'm kind of excited for the rom-com.
And I am John O. Lobster saying, have the Kleenex handy.
Aww.
That's just a warning.
Is there porn in this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kleenex. You need Bounty, bro.
Yeah.
Damn. What a load, man.
He closed his own loop.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.